earth as it is in heaven. Oh, 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 oh.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I knew I was going to do that. It is afternoon, and welcome to Hope on the Beach Church, and welcome to our Good Friday service. I just got to say really quick, Roberto, that was beautiful. That was a beautiful way to start our service. So this can be quite an emotional day for us as we recognize the day of crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So feel free to worship in whatever way suits you best. It's a space where it's okay to not be okay. It's what we call our no judgment zone. So come as you are and welcome home. We're so glad that you're here. If it's your first time joining us for a worship service, we want to invite you to get to know you a little bit better. Inside your worship folder, you have got a connection card. Anything that you might feel comfortable with sharing, we'd love to hear from you. It's our way to thank God for bringing you here today in our presence to worship with us. And we just want to honor God's wishes by bringing you here. And if you're here regularly, you can just put your name at the top unless there's anything else that you would like to share with us. And also, we want to welcome those who are joining us online. So good afternoon to you, too. And hopeonthebeach.com is where you can watch us, and also on YouTube. And on our homepage, you're going to see that we have our worship folder. So if you want to follow along with today's message and fill in the blanks, you can download it from there. And click share and go down in the comments there on YouTube. Let us know where you're watching from. We just love to hear from all of you. Before we get started today, we invite you to rise before today's message and worship with us as Roberto leads us.
Heavenly Father, we come to you with humility. We know the end, but today it's heavy. That sacrifice your son made for us. We are grateful. We are heavy-hearted because we're not worthy. Thank you for that love. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands and feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Let's sing that again. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white, the blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the of saints, my gaze transfixed, oh, on Jesus' face. Jesus, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. A place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Share my heart. A place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. I owe all to You at the cross. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You. I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You. I owe all to You. Here, my hope is found here. On holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down, here, arms open wide, here, You saved my life, here I bow down, here I sing it again, here, my hope is found, here, on holy ground, here I bow down, here I bow down. Here are open wide, here You saved my life, here I bow down, here I bow down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You, I'm in all of You. where your love ran red and my sins washed white. I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
What a beautiful moment, God. I mean, ugly in a worldly view, but a beautiful moment for us at the cross. The cross where there is life for us. So we lean into your word that it may shape us and mold us like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Christy and I were decided to look for a car, and we were shopping, and we tested one. We liked it and everything, but we wanted to kind of pray about it, spend some time on it, and so we did, and we were just really busy with ministry and stuff, so it didn't go back, and she went to Virginia, and as she's in Virginia, I get this phone call from the dealership saying, hey, you tested your car, why didn't you drive it? And I was like, well, you know. We weren't ready, but, you know, he goes, well, what would stop you? And I said, well, what would help you? And I said, well, if I get a good deal, so let's talk. And I don't know about you, but I love negotiating through the phone and not being there because I don't have to deal with them, right? So we're texting, going back and forth, numbers, throwing everything else. And, man, I'm telling Christy, I'm like, this is getting good. So I just kept going, and I'm going to be driving up to Virginia. So I'm like, man, I'd like to have the different car to drive up to Virginia. So I'm like, we're going to get this deal. So I kept going back, and I was like, I got the number. I'm good. So I told her, she said, sounds good. Go do it. So then I called a guy. I said, I'm good. You good? He's like, yeah, we closed it. So I'm like, great. Here's the deal. I need it by tomorrow morning. I'm going to drive by, pick it up, sign the papers, go to work, and then I'm driving to Virginia. So have the car ready. No change in numbers. No change in anything. Come in, do it, get done. Because I'm the boss. Right? You know it. So I do it in the morning. There's the car up front, all prepped out, walk around, do it, same great car, this and that. I was excited about it. Go in, paperwork's all laying there, water, coffee, they were all ready to go. Paper, I'll just flip through the paper. Oh, that's all the right numbers, that's all the right things. Flipped out keys, signed papers, done. Got in the car, start driving away, told Chris, I got it done. Going to work. And I'll be seeing you later tomorrow morning. And at that point, I had to go to a shift lanes, and I turned to the back seat to shift lanes, and I said, oh, I bought the wrong car. It had captain chairs, and the car we wanted had a bench in the middle row. In that moment, I felt like the biggest fool in the world. I'm going, I have to turn around. I'm two blocks away. I'm going to turn around and tell him, I don't want the car. Now, who's the idiot now? So I turn around and return the car to them and got a different one. You have had moments like that? Like you feel like the boss, and then you end up being a fool. The world says the cross is foolish to those who believe. You're foolish to believe in the cross. The world says you're foolish for taking a Friday at spring break and being in church. But Christians claim it's everything. So the question is it true or not? What is truly right? And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, if you want to follow along, and this is our memory verse, let's just read together. He says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He continues on and says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and the discernment of the discerning, I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I don't know about you, but I do not like instructions. How many are here, right? And I believe an intuitive assembly is the best way to go. And I realized this when I was building some IKEA furniture. You know, I opened a box and I looked at the manual and I'm going, yeah, I don't need that. And so 45 minutes later, well, I built something, but it doesn't look like what's on the box. Right? I got extra screws and parts and, you know, and the dresser is kind of leaning. Right? Most of us approach God the same way. We think, I got a general idea what God's about. I mean, I'm familiar enough, vaguely familiar, and know his words and his ways. And we kind of boil it down to just say, you know, it just be a good person. Try harder, do your best, and go to church when you can. And if you follow that kind of minimal formula, God will just bless you. And life should go well. And then life hits. And suddenly, your life is not holding together. It's unraveling in front of your eyes. And we start asking, why is life so hard? Why do I still feel guilty? Why does this not fix me? Why are my relationships not better? And we look at God for help, and then we hit Good Friday, where we don't find three instructions for the best version of you or for better life of you. Instead, what we find is a cross. We find a cross upon which Paul, when he hits the cross, says, the words of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. Notice in Paul's description, there's no middle ground here today. There's no staying neutral. The cross is either foolish or it's the only thing holding your life together. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. So what keeps us from clinging to the cross? Well, number one is this, is the cross offends your instincts. The cross offends your instincts. Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block and folly. That word stumbling block literally means something that trips you up because it's not what you expected. And that is the issue. God doesn't work like we expect him to work, like we want him to work. The world wants a God. We want a God who's all powerful and all, who's all strong. And he's so powerful that he should just come in and remove and fix all our problems. We want a God who's impressive. What a God who does these amazing miracles for us, or gives these and impresses us and overwhelms us with great emotion of his love for us that moves us. He does things that are just spectacular. We want a God who not only fixes things our way, but he fixes them quickly in our time. And we want a God who rewards our efforts. The more good I do, the more I should be blessed. And this is the God we desire. And this is the God that many churches will preach because they know what we want. Because this kind of God is attractive to us. This kind of God is attractive to the world. And although we are called out of the world, as much as we want to be out of the world, the problem is we want to be in the world. So we want a God who can appeal to this world so we're not shamed by the world. We're not marginalized by the world. We're not persecuted by the world. So we kind of keep putting our God back in the world so he's accepted and we are accepted. We want him there. We want him to act like the world. We just want him to be greater than the world. We want the upper hand. And yet here's what Isaiah reminds us from God's word. Isaiah 53:2 says, he has no form or majesty, no beauty that we should desire him. And that's shocking. God shows up and nothing about him impresses us. Nothing about him is attractive. Even though the church has made beautiful pictures, he has no worldly appeal. In fact, he's from a small town where nothing good comes out of it. He's poor, lower class, unpopular to the point of being hated and ugly. I've been getting a lot of emails from classmate.com. Have you ever heard of that? And it's just a website, I guess, social website that has your graduating high school class at it. And they keep sending portraits of your class and like, hey, portraits of people, classmates, and say, hey, catch up with your class, do this, or this event's going on. So I kept seeing all these portraits, these profile pictures of different classmates. So I was like, okay, you know what, I'm going to see what's going on. And then I clicked into it and I was like, dude, that is not the same person you emailed me. That is a totally different picture. There's a dramatic difference between that profile and reality. It's kind of like glamour shots. It didn't work, right? Have you seen that? And that's exactly what Good Friday is. Human expectations of victory, of power and triumph, which is more about our glory than God's glory. But the reality is, it's a beaten man, a beaten bloody man, nailed to a wood in the shape of a cross as a criminal, just struggling to breathe. And here's why it matters. A, you still expect God to work in your life the same wrong way. You think if God is with me, life should be smoother, easier. If I do good, then God should do good to me. If I'm doing okay, then things should actually improve. If I pray enough, then he should help me with these issues, and these issues should just go away, and he should fix them. If I pray hard enough, God would tell me exactly what to do. Instead of getting what we expect, we get struggle. We get silence. And we feel stuck. And we sit many times waiting and suffering. And often or not, we can start to feel very alone and abandoned. And your instinct is to say, something's wrong. Something's wrong with me. God has turned away from me. I have done something that he doesn't care about me. He's not involved with me. He doesn't want to be engaged. or something is wrong with God. And this God is not who I think he was or is. And this is here, in this moment, when most people say, this Christian faith is foolish because it doesn't work for me. And they start to look somewhere else because this is too hard. This is uncomfortable. This feels way too lonely, way too exposed. And even pastors feel this way too. And they're like, why am I doing this? Why not just go get a regular job? Have a normal life, make more money, and be happy. So we get here, we just want to move on. We just want to get out of it. But here's the truth I learned. When you stay, letter B, God does his deepest work where it looks like he's doing nothing at all. He does his deepest work in you, in your life. See, God loves you enough. Hear this. He loves you enough to not leave you where you are. But before you can grow, he needs to empty you of you. I mean, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, like, my power, God's power is made what? Perfect in weakness. So that means that if you're going to have God's power in your life, you've got to be brought to weakness. I mean, Apostle Paul knows a little bit about that, right? Apostle Paul was persecuting the church. He thought he was the boss on top of everything. And then Jesus showed up. And he was totally humbled and surrendered. And this guy who was riding on a horse with all authority and all power going after the church, I'm sure he thought on top of the world, on top of his game. He had people listening to him. He saw people being crushed under him. And now he's the one that's being crushed. He's the one that has to be led because he's blind. But it was in that he was transformed by the power of God. It's in that what Paul will say, in my weakness, right? God has held this weakness. I got this thorn in the flesh, but God has maintained it there that I may know his incredible grace. See, God is not absent in weakness. He specializes in weakness. It's because when we are weak, he is strong. I mean, I would never ask for the pain and suffering I've been through to have that on my life. I would never wish it on anybody else's life. However, I can tell you those moments are actually the greatest moments of the journey with God. Because it's in those moments when you stay and you go through the awkwardness, you go through feeling totally exposed and weak. It's in those moments that you really get to understand how much God loves and cares for you. It's in those moments you see how God provides and how God is working. It's in those moments that God brings breakthrough and breaks you out of your religious mindset that says, here's the formula of how God works, or here's the thing I think how life works, and God brings you back into this incredible relationship with him. Relationship. See, the challenge is number two. The cross tells the truth about you. It tells the truth about you. I mean, the Apostle Paul speaks pretty directly here. It's a little uncomfortable if we listen to it with what it says and we're honest. He says, God chose what is foolish, was weak, low, despised. If you're a believer in Jesus, there's your resume. That's who we are. Why does he do that? Because verse 29, he says, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God didn't design salvation for your participation, for your contribution. Because if he did, you would no longer be by grace. It would be by, would be you taking credit for it. I mean, I remember chemistry class like it was yesterday, because chemistry class was always filled with great group projects, and my job was to try to blow everything up. But anyway, right? But it was always these group projects, and it was always amazing. If the group project went well, it was very interesting to watch our group, everybody take credit for everything the teacher said. Oh, I did that. I did that. I did that. Like, somebody did everything. That's wow. I mean, it wasn't a group. This person did everything. And that same person, when our group did not work well together and the project did not go well, would say, well, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. I guess our group just fell apart. I did mine good, but they didn't. Right? And we do the same thing spiritually. If I'm doing well, I must be doing something right. But if I'm struggling, well, life's just complicated. And the Apostle Paul says, let me bring you back to reality. In Romans 3:10, he says, none is righteous. Not one of us is righteous. We all fall short of the glory of God. He continues on. He's not being harsh at us in a world that everybody thinks they get a trophy and deserve it. He's being accurate. The cross means that we're not mostly a good person who needs a little bit of help. The cross tells us that we are sinners who cannot fix ourselves. And that's why Jesus didn't come with just some advice. If the problem could be solved by effort, Jesus had no need to die. Isaiah reminds us, he says, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. God is not talking like, hey, you just got a general brokenness about you. No, you. He's talking about you and your sin. It is named. It is carried. And it's paid for on the cross. See that thing you don't like about yourself? That pattern of thinking and behavior you do? The guilt you keep revisiting? That's why there's a cross. Because number three, the cross is not an example. It's a substitute. I think we've used the cross in the wrong way so many times that it's moved us away from what true Christianity is and put us into a religion. Because we usually hear Good Friday, and that's what churches avoid Good Friday, because we look at Good Friday and we say, look, there's an example of what Jesus has done in his life, and so you need to be more sacrificial. You need to be more loving. You need to try harder. That's not the message of Good Friday. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The cross is not Jesus showing us how to live. It is Jesus taking our place for our punishment, of the death that we deserve, of the condemnation that we deserve. If someone comes to you and you're in debt and says, you know what? I paid all your debt. They don't go, hey, try harder next time. No, they say, it's covered. They've covered it. And Jesus says in John 19:30, he says, it is finished. Finished. He doesn't say, look, I started the good work. Now you need to build upon it. Now you need to move forward and do your part. He didn't say, look, I made it possible so you could do something to get saved. He finished the work. He paid it in full. You are fully covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. See, A, the cross is not God making salvation available to us, A. It's God accomplishing it. It's accomplished. Here's an observation, I think. I think we look at our world, if we're living, and the fact that we don't live much different than the world at most times. And I think when we slow down enough and look at our life, and we start hearing the voices inside, I think we realize that we are soul tired. Soul tired. And part of the reason our soul is so tired, because we live in a world right now that we just have so much stuff coming after us and we just absorb it now. It used to be we wouldn't have all these channels, but now we have all this stuff coming and we absorb it. And then after we absorb the experience, then we try to process it and say, this is good or this is bad. But the problem is we have so much and we have still so little facts, so little truth, that all that absorbing, all it does is bring outrage and anger. All it does is give us an emotional response. In fact, most of the emotional responses that we get from absorbing, it is either outrage or anger, or actually it leads to greater disappointment about our own life. One psychologist said that basically what's happening in our world today, people are walking around, because of all the disappointment, people are walking around in a state of grief, grieving their life and the world they live in. They are so tired. And because it's not just a physical tired, emotional tired, it's a tired that's gotten deep into our soul. And we're tired of trying to be good enough. We're tired of trying to hold things together. We're tired of pretending we're okay. We're tired of wondering if God is really for us or not. And Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. The problem is, you hear that, and our American world kicks in, and we say, okay, I need to do that. And so we turn rest into a to-do, a project. I'm going to rest harder this week. I'm going to take vacation. That's not rest. That's control wearing a spiritual mask. You know that feeling. Because you know that feeling when you've gone on vacation and you come home just as tired as you left. You're a little happier maybe, perhaps, because you've been someplace else and done some other things and been distracted for a little bit. But when you return home, you are the same you, and nothing has changed. See, the struggle is, we look at the cross the same way. Just help me in this moment or this situation. The cross doesn't help you to carry the burden. It removes the burden entirely. The cross will either offend you or it will free you. If it offends you, you will keep building your life by your own strength, your own power, and you'll keep doing the same way, and you'll keep being soul tired. And you won't be able to keep life together. But if you see the cross clearly, that this was for you, everything changes. So hear clearly, because the cross that Jesus suffered and died and rose again, because of that, I declare this to you, that in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, not partially, completely. Your guilt is removed, not to be managed, but removed, taken away. Your standing before God is secure, not because of your effort, not because of all the good you've done. It's secure because of what Christ has done. So what do we leave with at the end? You don't come to God with improvement plan. You come with empty hands. Empty. Surrendered. Confessing and resting in the grace of God. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. And we have mostly interpreted that means you need to sacrifice, you need to suffer, you need to do the work and do your part. You need to make it sincere, you need to be committed, you need to be dying yourself, all these things. But what if, instead of hearing it as all this law, that our work that we have to do, what if what Jesus was really saying was an invitation? What if Jesus was saying, this was a gospel invitation that said, look, I know you're so tired, and I want to help you. So if you just stop trying to do it, and you take my life, the cross, it's life. The burden is light. Why? Why is the burden so light? Because Jesus carried it all for us. He's inviting us to where there's life. I know this looks foolish. I know it doesn't sound right. But when you truly pick up the cross, the burden is light. And there you find grace. Man, the cross changes everything. And the only question is, has it changed you? Are you willing to be foolish to the world and say yes to the cross? Let's pray. God, your ways are above our ways, and sometimes they just don't make sense. They don't work in our mind, in our view, in our understanding. And it's frustrating. Because we even see good things and we say, God, why not? I mean, this seems to be in your will. Why would you not? And then, God, we're just reminded, as we look at the cross, your ways are above our ways. If we knew everything about you and knew every different way, then we would be God and you would not be. And so, God, we look at the cross and it calls us to surrender to that heart of your prayer when it's not our will, but your will be done. And we will rejoice in whatever that is. Because we know the good you work through all things. So, Father, I don't know where we are here today, but I'm sure we have places where we've been trying to force you to move or wanted you to move or fix things or do things, and you haven't. And so, God, our answer is we surrender. We ask for your forgiveness of us trying to be God and not letting you be God. Not letting you to shape us and change us and realize that even in this, you're working good. So the good news, you are forgiven. The good news that Jesus paid it all. And the good news is God's grace is upon you. And he is working good. And you can rest in it. And so, Lord, we have this time to lift up the petitions that are in our hearts, the cries, the burdens. I mean, you call us to shout them out, even if it's raw. And so, God, we call it out together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Jesus offered himself freely, motivating believers to offer their own resources as a response to his sacrifice. And one way that we can do this is through our tithings and our offerings. You have an offering envelope in your worship folder today. We also have a text to give number, and we have hopeonthebeach.com if you'd like to give online. And we also have some ways that you can connect with us and help grow your personal relationship with Jesus. If you take a look at the back side of your worship folder, you're going to see a schedule of things we have up and coming. We have our Men of Iron breakfast coming up, our ladies get together, our youth groups get together, and of course we have our Easter services, and this Sunday, we have our Easter spectacular for our kids and our families. We hope you will join us. We just want to love on you, and we want to be your Christian family and be a family that you can lean on. So if there's anything you would like to mark on the back of your connection card, please do so. And at this time, you can place your offerings and your connection card in the plates on your respective side. We're going to continue our worship.
You thieves, the perfect Lamb of God between a broken-hearted mother at his feet. The pain of it all for me. The earth shakes. Darkness falls. The Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. Paid it all for me. I thank you for the cross. I praise you. Without it, I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough. Say thank you for the cross. My victory, I thank you for the cross. I praise you, without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross.
Let's rise and worship. Father, we are amazed at your Son, at your presence. We love you. We thank you. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song
shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Sing that again.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
He took my sins and my sorrows.
He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone.
It is finished. Your sin is forgiven. Your debt is paid. Your salvation is won through Christ's holy, precious blood. Go in his peace, held in his grace, until the joy of Easter morning. All God's people say, Amen. Amen.